we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Everybody, how's everybody doing today? Y'all doing good? Yo, oh, I'm sorry. That's so rude of me. Hello. Welcome to Redemption Church, everybody. What are we doing today? Well, we'll figure that out in a second, but welcome to Redemption Church. We're not a mega church, but we're a mighty church. We're a Jesus church. We're called, we have the name of Jesus. We have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. We're a mighty church. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm the lead pastor here at Redemption Church, and I welcome you. I'm so glad that you're here. We are in the second week of our Leader Slip series. And last week, we asked you, we told you a simple definition for the word leadership. What is the definition of leadership?
Influence.
That's right. The definition of leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. It's just real simple. Leadership is all about influencing people. We told you that everyone is called to be a leader. That leadership is not like a personality. Leadership is like only outgoing people can be leaders. We have these weird thoughts, but it's very clear that everybody is called to influence other people, that God wants to use you and use everyone to influence other people for the good. Everyone is called to be a leader, but not everyone answers that call. Falling short of your leadership purpose, that's what we call leader slip. Last week, we talked about which character of the Bible?
Jonah,
I'm so glad Pastor Marshall was here because he remembers it. All right, we talked about Jonah, and Jonah should have been a great leader, but he had this leader slip. He had several leader slips, but we focused on one leader slip, and that was focus. His focus was always somewhere else. We challenge you to focus on the things that really matter, and I hope that you kept the carnations. I hope you've been challenged by it. I hope that you're already trying to get something to happen awesome in your life before that carnation withers to nothing. If you missed last week, you can go check it out on our website, redemption-church.com. This week, we're going to talk about King Saul. The nation of Israel had asked for a king. They said, God, we need a king. All the other nations have a king. Give us a king. And God found them a king. He looked over all the nation, and he actually found them a pretty good king. He was not a bad king. God thought, you know what? I better call Saul.
No.
All right. There groans. All right. It's a pretty good TV show, though. You should check it out. All right. Leadership. Leadership asks a lot of us, right?
Yes.
There is a lot of responsibility involved in being a leader. Sometimes it can be downright scary. And God looked over the nation, and he found someone who was equipped to the task of leading this nation as its first king. I want you to get this picture that God didn't look around in Israel and found somebody, oh, this guy is a loser, let's pick him. No, God actually looked, took time, and found someone that was supposed to be a great leader for that nation. God didn't find someone really lame and then say, oh, wow, this is going to be a dumpster fire. Let's see what happens. Let's make this guy king. Saul had a lot going for him. He had been hand-selected by God. Sound like a big deal? It is a big deal. Can I also tell that you are hand-selected by God, right?
Yeah.
You are a big deal. And God looked and saw Saul and saw inside Saul the ability to lead within this guy. Scripture says that he was tall. He was tall in stature. It also says that he was as handsome as anyone that could be found in all of Israel. So right there, this guy looks the part. People will look at this guy and say, that's a leader right there. He's influential. He was strong physically, and he was a good warrior. The makings of a great leader. And interestingly, he was from the smallest tribe. What's the smallest tribe of Israel?
Benjamin.
Good job. He was from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe. And it all made for an amazing story that God would select from the smallest tribe. This guy was, Saul was a young man that took care of donkeys. And while he is on a quest to find missing donkeys, he is anointed king of Israel, their first king. Don't we all love stories like that? God loves stories like that. He picks stories like that all the time. And we love stories where people rise up through the ranks and become leader of people and do great things. Today, we should be celebrating the reign of King Saul, shouldn't we? Based on everything that we've learned about him, what every description of him, we should be celebrating his reign. But we aren't. Jallison, we aren't. Okay, just making that sure. All right, you good? All right, we aren't celebrating his reign because he had leader slip. There's not much in King Saul's reign to actually celebrate. We can find a few military victories, the few battles that were won here and there, but the rest of Saul's reign is actually a disaster. It's actually very bad. And there's an actual sad moment where God actually says, I reject you. And it's really, really sad. Saul had leader slip. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Saul was called, but he was not present. And that is his leader slip. I want you to say this. Called, but not present. Leaders have to be present. That's what they have to do. They have to be present. Let me step out here and join you for a moment. When we think about leadership, we often get sidetracked. We often focus on good looks, outward appearance. Does that sound like Saul? Yeah, check. Charisma, the ability to attract people, the ability to entertain an audience, ability to make people laugh, ability to make people listen. It was also Saul. Intelligence. We don't know about his intelligence so much, but we look to smart people all the time. Unique gifts and abilities. We think it's all about that. We get sidetracked in that. Impressive accomplishments. Hey, what have you done in life? All right, well, then I'll follow your advice. We do this all the time. That's how we find leaders. But I want to tell you, it's a sidetrack. Do not be sidetracked. None of these things actually make you a good leader. You can accomplish great things. You could accomplish wealth by finding a lottery ticket. That doesn't mean that you are somebody that needs to be followed. You, oh my goodness, if celebrity has taught us anything, it has taught us that a pretty face doesn't necessarily make a leader, right? Just try following the Kardashians, right? Whatever the Kardashians do, by golly, that's what I'm going to do. Let them lead your life. I got an amen. All right. Jallison, we're worried about you. All right. Now, all of these things, they don't make you a leader. They're actually a byproduct of making you a leader. It's your good decisions and being a good influence. That's what led you to success. And it's your good habits that seem so intelligent. And the lifestyle that you live that looks so prominent, like something you want to have. King Saul had all of these, this list of things that should have made for a great leader if we get sidetracked into that definition. He had the looks, the charisma, the gifting, the calling, the accomplishment. God reached down and chose the donkey herder from the tribe of Benjamin. Saul should have been a great leader, but Saul was called, but not present. In 1 Samuel 17, we are told about a war involving the Philistines and the Israelites. Both armies encamped on opposite sides of a valley, the Valley of Elah. Instead of having an all-out war where the two armies just killed each other and whoever left standing wins, they decided to each choose a champion. This was done a lot in that time, that they would, each side would choose a champion. These two champions would meet in the center of the valley and they would fight. Whoever's champion wins, then wins the war. And all the losers become the slaves to the victor. All right? So it's really important everyone understand the scenario here of champions. So the Philistines, they chose their champion. I want you to make a Sunday school teacher smile somewhere in heaven. What is the name of the Philistine champion?
Goliath.
Goliath the giant. The Bible describes Goliath as 6 cubits and 1 span, which equals roughly 9.5 feet.
All right.
9.5 feet, right? Shaquille O'Neal was like 7 foot tall. Goliath had 2.5 feet on Shaquille O'Neal. Amazing, right? Big time. This is Goliath. Goliath was the Philistine champion and the Israeli champion. Let me tell you about the Israeli champion. The Israeli champion was no one. They had no champion. You see, the champions would meet on the valley below, and every morning and every evening, Goliath would stand in the middle of the valley. He'd come right in the middle of the valley. He'd look right at the Israelite camp, and he would start screaming at them and yelling at them, hurling insults about them, their cowardice, and probably said a thing or two bad about their God and their mama and whatever else he could think to talk about. Goliath would stand there and he would taunt them. And this went on for days. He would go out to the middle of the field and no one from the Israel camp would come out to meet him. This went on for how long? Well, how long? Just real quick. Just think in your head, what's a good number? How many days do you think that would take? Don't you think after like a day or two, maybe somebody would step up and say, you know, okay, guys, we got to do something about this. Maybe a week would be ridiculous, right? But maybe a week, right? How long was it? Let's read it. It's 1 Samuel chapter 17, 16. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. I want you to get this. All of the army of the Israelites woke up every morning. Their alarm clock was a 9-foot-6-inch giant screaming at them. All of Israel, all of Jerusalem, every part of Israel was worried about what was happening here. Who is going to face this giant? Are we about to be slaves? What is happening? And it all took place for 40 days. You talk about a leadership vacuum. You talk about a scenario where someone ought to be standing up, but isn't. That's what was going on right there. The Philistines had a champion, but Israel did not. It's obvious, right? It ought to be obvious to you. King Saul was supposed to be their champion. Does that make sense in your head? That King Saul should have been their champion. Now, the stats of Goliath are really impressive. We could talk about his weaver's beam, like, sized sword and all of his impressive shield and all of that, how like the weight of it and stuff. We could talk about all the impressiveness of his height and all of his strength. We could talk about that. But let me tell you, Saul was handpicked by God. That was a pretty impressive stat. And Saul was taller than anyone. He was like a foot taller than anyone else found in Israel. That's what it told us. So if we're looking around saying, okay, they brought out their tall guy, who are we going to bring out? Where's our tall guy? We would be bringing out the king, King Saul, who was called by God, named by God. He was Israel's Goliath. He should have been Israel's champion. And kings, where are they supposed to be in a war? They're supposed to be leading their army into battle. I want to tell you that Saul was called. The problem's not his calling. The problem was Saul was called, but he was not present. In fact, Saul was not just present. he was nowhere near the battle lines. He was in his tent. That's where he was. When we find him, he's in his tent. For how long? For 40 days. Avoiding, not making a decision. That's one of the worst things you could do as a leader, somebody that's called to influence a situation. Wait because you're scared. And have that indecision. That whole time, it's demoralizing to everyone around you. It's terrible. It's some terrible leadership presented by Saul. Can I tell you today, you can't fulfill your leadership call if you aren't present. You'll never be able to influence the people you're called to influence if you don't show up. If you don't open up your mouth and say what needs to be said, you'll never fulfill your leadership call. If you don't do what you know needs to be done, if you just hide in a tent, you'll never fulfill your leadership call. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 16. I want to tell you, look at this verse. This is God speaking to Samuel, the prophet, describing King Saul. About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Again, anoint him leader over my people Israel. He will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked upon my people, for their cry has reached me. Now, God spoke these words. God spoke these words right here. I want you to notice. He, being Saul, the Benjamite, he will deliver my people from the hand of who? The Philistines. Wait, isn't that who they're fighting right now? Wait, isn't that who Goliath is? Wait a second. Didn't God, who hand-selected Saul, say, I'm going to use him? He will deliver my people. He, the guy hiding in the tent, is who I want to use for this purpose. I'm calling him. And
that's right.
He is nowhere to be found. Hey, buddy, this is your job. This is what you were called to do. This is your purpose. It's right here. This is your shining moment. This is the moment that people are going to sing about. God has prepared you. He's crowned you. He's called you. He's anointed you for this purpose. What are you doing in the tent for 40 days? King Saul was anointed. Don't you think he was not anointed? He was anointed in the very definition of the word anointed. The oil was poured on his head. He was called. God literally called him. God speaks to a prophet and says, I'm going to show you this guy. He's from Benjamin. He's called. He was destined. Look at this. God is destining his life. Not only am I going to call you, I'm going to tell you your purpose. You're going to go do this. But he wasn't present. He hid in his tent for 40 days. Can I tell you, you can't fulfill your leadership call. You can't fulfill your anointing. You can't fulfill your destiny if you're hiding in your tent. You can't fulfill it if you aren't present. We don't have time to really go into like the story in depth. Hopefully you kind of know the story, but we'll briefly touch it quickly. I will remind you that a young shepherd boy was delivering lunch on that 40th day. That boy's name was?
David.
Man, Sunday school teachers in heaven are just smiling at us today. That's awesome. It is estimated that Bible scholars, there's no way to know this, but Bible scholars estimate that David was about 5'2". 5'2", just a young little whipper snapper, right? Hebrew people aren't known for their amazing height average already, so he's like really short. He's 5'2", and he's facing a giant that is 9'6". He is over 4 feet shorter than Goliath. But David heard the giant. David shows up on that 40th day, and he hears the giant, and he decides immediately something needs to be done. He walks around going, hey, did you hear this guy? This little 5'2", little whippersnapper, he just comes up and says, did you get a load of this guy? Do y'all know this guy's here? He's been here 40 days, but he's like, did you know this guy was here? Have y'all not noticed there's this big idiot out there saying bad things? What? Aren't we going to do something? Come on, guys. Something needs to be done about this. And he goes out there with a slingshot and he slays Goliath. I want you to get this. David is in the camp 5 minutes and he decides something needs to be done, while Saul is in the camp 40 days and still hasn't made a choice, still hasn't made a decision. You got to make a choice. Can I speak to some people that are called to lead people, lead their families, lead their city, lead their friends, lead your church? You got to make a choice. You can't just hide and hope the giant goes away. Let's just go there. Some of you have some conversations that you need to have. Get out of the tent. Talk to your children. Get out of your tent. Talk to your friends about their destructive behavior. Get out of your out of here. Tell your loved one about Jesus. Yes. You're called to do something. You're called to start something. God, you keep having this dream. You keep having this thought. Maybe I can do this. Maybe I should do this. You'll never do it in here. You got to step out. It's what God has called you to do. Just like he anointed Saul, just like he called Saul, just like he put destined purpose in front of him, he's done that for you. But you can't do it from in there. No battles are won in here. Battles are lost in here. Families are lost in here. Cities are lost in here. Your future is lost in here. The career you should have had, the business you should have started, it's lost in here. The relationship you should have had, it's lost in here. It's won on the battlefield with the Lord on your side. David's there 5 minutes. Man, now that's some leadership stuff right there. 5'2". Doesn't have armor, doesn't have a sword. He's like, that guy's a loser and our God's the winner. I've got to, let me get some stones. I'm going to get out there. I want to tell you, you are called. But I got to ask you, are you present? You're called. I would love for us to get past the moment of wondering if we're called. Man, if we could do that today, that'd be a big victory. Some of you might be wondering, well, I don't know if I'm called. I talked to someone on the phone this last year. It's a person I absolutely love. And I told this person called me worried about his niece, right? Worried about his niece. And he said, Christopher, you got to pray. You've got to pray. You've got to talk to God. He kept saying those words like, Christopher, you've got to do those things. And I said, man, you are called. You're her uncle. You are called to pray. You are called. I will gladly pray. I'll gladly step up. I'm not hiding, but you're called to do something. What are you doing, avoiding? And this person said, oh, Christopher, I'm not called. Don't you dare tell me that I'm called. I'm like, man, don't you have a little bit more faith in God? The God you're asking me to pray to? Don't you have at least the amount of faith that says he could do something with your life? Let me tell you, if that's you here today, man, I would, in love, I would just like to, God, wake up, you're called, you're important, you matter, God is on your side, God wants good things in you, all right, I'd never slap you, mainly because I bleed a lot, and if we got in a fight, I know where that would head. Are you present? In your home. Let's go there. Are you present in your home? Well, I go home every day. No. Showing up, being in the room. You can be in the room and not in the room. You can be at the kitchen table, but not really be at the kitchen table. You can be driving in the same car, but you are a million miles away. Did you know the U.S. Census Bureau says 24 million children in America live in a biological father absent home? That means that their biological father is nowhere to be found in their life. 24 million. Let me bring it to you in these stats. That is 1 out of every 3 children you see. That really hurt me when I read that stat. There's some people not present. There's some people that aren't walking, and that they were called to be that person. They were called to be a good father. They were called to show a child that a man doesn't have to be abusive, that a man could love, that a man could provide, that a man could tell the truth and be honest and stand up. But they aren't anywhere around. Not there to protect them, not there to provide for them. One out of three. Are we present? Are we present in our home? Are we present with our children? Are we present with our spouse in our marriage? In the crisis that is affecting the ones you love, the people that you love, are you present? You know about the problem. You know what's going on. You know they're worried. Come on. We know what's going on even when they don't tell us. That's what it's like to be a friend. That's what it's like to be a family member. You know something's up. Maybe you don't know everything, but you know something's up. So you're going to show up? Are you going to be present right there? Have you entered the battlefield? We see the world going to ruin. Right? Can we all admit we kind of see the world going to ruin? I don't mean to be fatalistic, and I love the world. I live here, and I love the United States. I live here, but can we be honest? We kind of see our nation going down the drain. Not talking politics at all, more than politics. Like, what's happening inside people is just bad, and we see it on the news, and everybody's response to the bad things is just to do more bad things. I saw on the internet, all right, everybody's very mad about Trump and his hatred. So everybody thought it was a really awesome thing. Okay, we're mad about his violence and hatred at his meetings. So we'll go and create violence and hatred at his meetings. And what a victory that is. That's the world we're living in. That's their idea of a good response. No, it's not. We all see this, and there's something inside our hearts that says something needs to be done. Are we ready to enter the battlefield? Are we ready to be present? Find a way to be present, and sometimes we don't know what that is, but God knows what that is. God, help me find a way to be present. How about this one? You see the problem in yourself. Man, there's problems in me. There's difficulty in me. There's stuff in me that's just not what it should be. Do you see the problem in yourself? You know about it? You understand that you're out of control maybe in your finances? Maybe you're out of control in your health? Maybe you're out of control in your relationships? Go down the list. There's some area where you're just kind of out of control. It's not going good. It's like it's just weaving all over the road like you're headed for a crash. Out of control in your relationships, yet you haven't actually entered the battlefield. You haven't made a choice. You're here. You're here in the tent, waiting it out. You have never championed your own cause. You're called to be a champion. You're called to be someone's champion. Well, let me ask this. Are you even here right now? Are you even present here? I mean, you're here at church. That's awesome. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. But are you really here? Because people show up to church sometime and they, you know, it's just like, well, we got to go to church because, you know, don't want to go to hell. And so, you know, that's why they came to church. But God wants to talk to you. God wants to minister to you. God wants to take away your pain. God wants to do something. But you have to be here more than just in the room. You have to be here with him in his presence. You're hearing this sermon. It might be right on the money of what you need to hear. But if you just leave church today untouched and unmoved, you've never left the tent. You've not made a choice. Where are we? We're called to be leaders. We're called, but we aren't present. Here's what I want you to understand today. I want you to get this. Three words. Just show up. Look at somebody. Tell them, just show up. There are many people in your Bible that you know simply because they showed up. They didn't do a dang thing. They did nothing. They just showed up. Zacchaeus, he just showed up. He said, I want to see Jesus. I can't see. I guess I'll climb up in this tree. That's all he did. You know his name. Because he just showed up in a tree. The woman with the issue of blood, she showed up in a crowd and reached out to Jesus. We know her. We sing about her. We celebrate what God did. Blind Bartimaeus, he had no idea where he was. He was blind. But somebody said, Jesus is coming. And he just showed up when he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Nothing special about that. Nothing big about that. He didn't go build a kingdom. He didn't go build a castle. He just cried out. He just showed up. That's all he did. Barnabas, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, Barnabas in the book of Acts, just showed up at a prayer meeting in Acts chapter 4. Just showed up. The next thing you know, he decides to show up and sell his property and give it to the church so that it can fulfill needs. Just shows up. Later, he just shows up as the first missionary. He's actually, they tell him, hey, Barnabas, we want to send you on a mission to Antioch, to this new city. And you know, he says, okay, I'm going to go. I'll show up over there. And you know who he grabs on his way to Antioch? He grabs the Apostle Paul. Do you get this? Do you get the significance of that? We might never know about Paul the missionary if it weren't for a guy that showed up on his doorstep and knocked on his door and said, hey, Paul, not everyone trusts you because of your past, but I think you're called. Would you go with me to Antioch? Do you get that? Do you get how he showed up there and how brave he was? But really, all he did was just show up. He kept showing up. You wouldn't know these names except they just showed up. Let me tell you, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not because of what you did, because you just showed up and said, I believe that message. Jesus, will you forgive me? You showed up in a baptismal tank and he washed your sins away. You showed up one day, he just filled you with his presence. You just showed up one day. Oh, man. I don't know what you think God is asking of you today. People get mighty weird, like the person that called me about their niece. People get really weird when it comes to church, religion, thinking religiously, or this question, what does God want? People get really weird about that. People sell you a whole bill of goods on what God wants that's not even in the Bible, right? Could it be that God just wants you to show up and be present in the moment? Right? Nothing too complicated. Let's look at some more examples here. Israel, here's what I want you to do. Just show up at the Red Sea. What are we going to do at the Red Sea? I mean, there's going to be people behind us. Pharaoh's going to be kind of ticked. What do we do? Just show up at the Red Sea. They show up. God parts the Red Sea. They go through a free nation. All of their enemies are washed away. It happened. Why? Because they showed up. Disciples. Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, just tarry in Jerusalem. You just wait. I'm about to ascend here, but last words here. You just wait in Jerusalem. Why? What's going to happen in Jerusalem? Just wait. You'll see. But what do we do? I mean, we got to get things rolling. We got to, create a website and, create a church charter and get our tax exemption. No, just wait. Because God is going to fill you with his spirit. And immediately you're going to have a power like you never had before. That's what happened in Acts 2. They just waited. They showed up. And 120 people are filled with the Holy Spirit power that had never been in their life before. And the next thing you know, 3,000 new believers show up. Just show up. Just show up. Immediately you'll be a witness like you never have been before. When you show up, church, just do it. Jesus told them, you will be called before kings and world leaders. That's what he said. You're gonna be called before people that are smarter than you, that have more degrees on the wall than you, that have a lot more gold than you, that have a lot more influence than you. They have a lot more Snapchat friends than you have. But just show up. Don't even worry what you're going to say. That's what he says. Just show up, Junia, and don't even worry about what you're going to say. Because in the same moment that you show up, God's going to fill your mouth with the words to say. Is that what he said? That's what he said. He's saying, just show up. Believer, just call on the name of the Lord. Just call on that. What? What will that do? What do we need to do? Just show up, call on the name of Jesus, and you're going to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from everything. Saved from the problem you're going through? Call on the name of Jesus. Saved from your sickness? Call on the name of Jesus. Saved from your sin? Just call on the name of Jesus. Saved from your fear? Just call on the name of Jesus. Why don't you just show up in his presence by just calling on his name? I got news for Israel. I got news for King Saul. It is not the stature of a person. It is not the ability of a person that makes a champion. You may have giants out in your life that are mocking you, like they've shown up for the last 40 days just mocking you. But I am looking at champions. I don't know. Some of you I know better than others, but I believe, I just speak that on faith. I'm talking to champions today. If you will just show up, you will see your calling fulfilled. But you have to make a choice. You can't be in here. Let me tell you what showing up might look like. There are a lot of ways to show up, but here's some ways. Student, study for your test. Be a good student. We're not talking like a get out of jail free card. Oh, good, I'm called. Now I never have to study again. God's just going to give me instant A's. No, Bible says study to show yourself approved. All right, that works with the Bible and also calculus. All right, so study, show up for class. Spouse, keep trying, keep forgiving, keep showing up. Like when the worst thing happens, just show up. Could you just do that for each other? The person said something, your spouse said something that was hurtful, they did something that was hurtful. What do you do next? Could you just show up again? Show up again? Businessman, don't give up. Keep believing in your dream. That last door closed, but you keep dreaming, you keep pushing. You're gonna make it. Just keep showing up. Church, trust in the Lord. Trust him. You look around sometimes and you're like, man, I wish this was happening in our church. I want this was happening. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it is. But just trust in God. Just show up and trust. Just show up in faith. Just show up in worship. Just show up and say, I believe. And then God will lead you. You can walk into a world filled with turmoil and be the champion. Redemption Church, you're called to be a champion in Plano, Texas, in DFW. Here is something that Saul never realized, and it's probably something that you and I don't fully realize. Here it is. We are the answer to someone's prayer. When you get this, someone is praying, I don't know who it is, but God is answering that prayer with you. Saul did not understand this. He was the answer to someone's prayer. Let's once again look at 1 Samuel 9:16. Look at this last verse right there. He will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked upon my people, for their cry has reached me. What's happening here? God is telling Samuel, this guy who's going to be king is the answer to the cry of my people. Do you understand that you could be the answer to someone's prayer? Do you get that? Do you understand how big that is? How huge that is? Do you understand how important you are? Do you understand that there could be someone that is saying, God, I don't know if you're real. Are you real? Could you talk to me? And then the next person they run into is you. You're called to be the answer to that prayer. There's somebody saying, God, could you bring me my next meal? I'm hungry and I don't have any money. What am I going to do? And then you come strolling down the way. You could be the answer to someone's prayer. I'm going to tell you, you are. I want to tell you, mom and dad, you are. You're the answer to your children's prayer. They want to be happy. They want to have a good life. They want to have peace. They want to not be afraid. You're the answer to that. You got to step up. You got to be that. Redemption Church, there is a world out there. They don't know they need Jesus, but they absolutely do. But here's what they'll know that they need. They need love. They need peace. They need happiness. They need somebody to listen. They need somebody not to hit them over the head with a Bible in judgment and meanness. That's you. You are called to be the answer to their prayer. I want to tell you, as I'm closing today, you need to walk in your calling. Your calling is not something you just get. See, Saul, he had the anointing on him in here, in his tent. He had the calling on him here in his tent. He had the destiny in here. In his tent. But it wouldn't do him any good until he chose to walk into it. I want to tell you, you're saved. That is awesome. Praise God you're saved. You're called for more than just being saved. Heaven is awesome. Praise God. Want to go there? We'll shout on those hills of glory or all those old songs together. We'll do that all together, all right? Yeah. But you're called for a lot more than that. You're called to do something right now. Can I tell you? You're called to do more than just show up and sit on a church pew. Yeah, you're called to do more than just know a few things about God. You're called, but you got to leave right here. Try to do it carefully. But you're called. You got to leave. You got to get out on the battlefield. Saul did not understand that when he denied the duel with the giant, he was denying his call. We think we want to avoid the struggle. Isn't that like 98% of our prayer? God, let this struggle go away. Let this problem go away. Let me avoid this. I see this oncoming train. God, if you could just make the train disappear, if you could make the giant disappear. You think Saul was praying that in the tent? I think he absolutely was. God, if you could just make him go away. We think we want to avoid the struggle. We pray to be past the struggle, but I want to tell you that overcoming the struggle is your calling. It's your calling to overcome it. You don't just say, let me avoid it. If you're avoiding the struggle, you're also avoiding your calling. King Saul was called to defeat the champion of his enemy. By avoiding the giant, he avoided his calling, and he was no longer a champion himself. Someone else walked out there and became Israel's champion, became Israel's leader. So, are you done hiding? Are you done with that? Are you done avoiding? Are you ready to walk in your calling? Are you ready to be present? Well, let me explain something, what's about to happen here. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We worship God. We did that together. Thank you for worshiping with us. We receive the Word of God together. We just opened up the Bible. We looked at this very simple message. Now the third thing is we want you to do something. We want you to talk to God, all right? That's what prayer is. I'm going to open up this front right here for prayer. And if you want to come forward, you can. If you want special prayer, if you want someone to pray with you, you come in the first 2 feet, like right whereabouts I'm standing, and someone will pray with you. If you don't come in the first 2 feet, no one is going to bother you. We want you to have this time to talk to God. But here's what I want you to pray about. Pray about all the other stuff going on in your life, but you make sure you pray this. God, help me to make the choice to be your champion. God, help me to be present in my family. Help me to be present in my church. Help me be present in the world. God, bring that out in me right now. These altars are open right now. Why don't you come and pray? I'm going to just pray over you for a moment. God, I thank you for everyone that is here. Lord, we have no idea all the great things you've got for us. We've got no idea all the powerful things that you could do through each individual in this house. Lord, we believe, God, that you have called us into this great thing. God, Lord, help us to answer that call. Help us to walk forward. Help us to trust you. Help us to believe, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that somebody makes a choice today. It might be scary. It might be brand new to them. God, I trust that you're going to reach into their heart. You're going to help them to make that first step and to take every other step from there on. Lord, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Come on, Redemption Church, let's talk to God. People on the podcast, you talk to God. You're called to do more for Jesus. Come on, let's step up and do it in Jesus' name.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.